For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's March 11th. We are in Treyaser in Sefania, Perek Aleph. We're in the first Perek, and we are up to Pasuk Zion, verse 7. We are dealing with the issue of the Jews worshipping Avodah Zarah, as we mentioned last time. And Hashem continues here in that vein. Has mipnei Hashem Elokim, be quiet or
silent.
Silent, yeah. In front of Hashem, ki karov yom Hashem, because the day of Hashem is close, meaning the day that He will punish. Ki echin Hashem zevach, Hashem has prepared zevach as a slaughter. Hikdish kruav, and He has assigned those who will be called to it, meaning He's ready to punish. V'alya biyom zevach Hashem, will be in the day of the slaughter of Hashem, the slaughter that Hashem does. Ufakarati al hasarim ve'al b'nei ha-melech, and I will visit upon the leaders, the officers and the children of the king. Ve'al kol halovshim malbush nachri, and all those who wear clothing of the non-Jews. We'll come back to that. Ufakarati al kol hadoleg al hamiftan bayomahu, and I will visit upon all those who jump over the stoop of the door on that day, that they refuse to step on the stoop and they jump over it. Hamemalim beis adonayim chamas umirmada, they fill the house of their master with theft and deceit. This is a reference to the story in Shmuel, where we had that the Plishtim got a hold of the Aron in the battle with the Jews. The Jews lost the battle, and the Aron was taken by the Plishtim, and the Plishtim put the Aron in the house of their Avodah Zarah, and they put it in front of their Avodah Zarah. Dagon was their Avodah Zarah, which was half man, half fish. And they came in the morning, and they found that Dagon had, the statue had fallen over. They righted the statue, they came back the next day, and it had fallen again, and this time its head had broken off, its hands had broken off, it had smashed. So the head of Dagon, I believe, when it smashed off, it rolled onto the stoop of the building, of the house that it was in. So the Plishtim, in their foolishness, as everybody who worships Avodah Zarah is foolish, so they believed that the God, which had been in the statue, now transferred to the stoop. And from then on, they wouldn't step on that stoop, they would step over that stoop, because now the stoop was divine. So that's what it means, doleg al hamiftan, those who jump over the stoop, meaning that they worship Avodah Zarah to the extent that they're even following the foolishness. I mean, it's all foolish, but that even to the extent of the Avodah Zarah changing places and moving from one item to the next. V'ayomahu, and it will be on that day, Numa Hashem says Hashem, kol tsa'aka mishar hadagim, they'll be crying out from the gate of the fish. Now, there are different gates to Yerushalayim, and the simple meaning of this and the next pasuk have to do with the gates of Yerushalayim. However, the Medrash says this is referring to specific cities in Eretz Yisrael. This one, the gate of the fish, is referring to Akko, because Akko is on the water, where there was a great fishing industry. V'yalala min ha-mishneh, and crying out from the Mishneh. Mishneh means the second city. Second city here would mean second to Yerushalayim, which is referring to Lud, which was a big city, second to Yerushalayim. V'shevra gadol mehagvaos, and great breaking in the hills, referring to a city that was very high up, referring to Tzipuri, which was high up in the mountains. Heililu yoshvei hamachtesh, cry out those who dwell in Machtesh. Machtesh is a very low area. That's referring to, it's referring to Tveria, which is very low, low down. So there would be crying out there as well. Kidnidma kol am Kenan, because everybody is similar to Kenan. They're behaving like Kenan. Nichrasu kol netilei chasef, will be cut off all those who carry silver or money, meaning those who had a lot of money were the ones who were the worst perpetrators of it as they worshipped Avodah Zarah. V'haya bo'i sahi, will be at that time, achapes es Yerushalayim baneiros. I will search Yerushalayim with candles. Ufakarati al ha'anashim hakofim al shimreim, and I will visit upon those who float on their sediment. Ha'omrim bilvavam, they say in their hearts, lo yitiv Hashem v'lo yareya. Hashem will not do good to us, Hashem will not do bad to us. There's no schar, there's no onish, there's no punish, there's no reward, there's no punishment. Floating on the sediment is a reference to those who feel they are settled and secure. Wine that is floating on its sediment is wine that is settled and good. The sediment has sunk to the bottom of the barrel. The wine is above it, and that's a symbol for serenity. Those who believe they are serene and safe, they're the ones who I'm going to visit the punishment upon them. They believe that there is no schar, there is no onesh, there is no reward, there is no punishment, but in fact there will be. I guess we'll keep reading over here. We'll come back to this pasuk as well soon. V'haya chelam limshisa, their wealth will be for trampling. Uvatam lishmama, their houses will be destroyed. Uvanu vatim v'lo yeshevu, they'll build houses, they will not be settled. Natu chamim, and they'll plant vineyards. V'lo yishtu eshenam, they will not drink from their wine. Karov yom Hashem agadol, the day of Hashem the great day of Hashem is close, the day of punishment. Karov umaher ma'od, it's close and coming very quickly. Kol yom Hashem mar tzoreach sham gibor, the sound of the day of Hashem, it'll be a bitter crying out from the strong ones who think that they're safe, they will cry out. Yom Evra Hayomahu, that day is a day of anger, which the Gemara in many places says refers to Gehenim. Yom Evra means a day, it means Gehenim. Yom Tsara Umitsuka, a day of pain and crying out. And here we have a very famous word, has become famous of late. Yom Shoah Umishoah. There's that word, Shoah. Yom Shoah, day of destruction and being destroyed. Yom Choshech Va'afela, day of darkness and deep darkness. Yom Anan Va'afel, day of thick clouds, meaning also darkness. So the word Shoah comes from here. It means absolute and total destruction. Yom Shoah. Yom Shofar U'Truah, day of the shofar and the truah, meaning the blowing of the shofar and truah because of the fear of what is happening. Al Haharim Abitzuros, on the mountains that are fortified. Vala Pinos HaGevohos, and the high areas that they will be also in fear. They're going to blow the shofar in fear. That's their alarm system. Vatzerosi La'adam, I will cause pain to man. V'holchu Ka'ivrim, they will go like they are blind. Kila Hashem Chato, because they've sinned to Hashem. V'shupach domam ke'afar, the blood will be spilled like dirt, like dust. U'lechumam ka'galalim, and their flesh like dung. Gam kaspam, gam zahavam, lo yuchal lahatzilamo, so their silver, their gold will not be able to save them. Biom evras Hashem, on the day of the anger of Hashem. U've'esh kinaso, in the fire of his
anger,
okay. Teach. Yeah. Teachel kol ha'aretz, the entire land will be consumed. Kichala ach nivhala ya'aseh, for they'll be completely destroyed. They'll be confused. Es kol yoshvei ha'aretz, all that dwell in the land. Okay, clearly not a very pleasant prediction over here. Now, the 2 points that we're going to focus on are our Pasuk Ches, verse 8, which references those who wear the clothing of the non-Jews, and then also Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, that on that day, that time, I will search Yerushalayim with candles. So let us begin with Pasuk Ches, with verse 8. And as you will see, these will tie in to Pesach. Now, the Pasuk says that I will punish those who wear the clothing of the non-Jews. Now, we know there's a famous quote that people say that we Jews were saved from Mitzrayim. We were taken out of Egypt because we were careful with three things. Lo shinu es shemam, we did not change our names. Lo shinu es lashonam, we didn't change our language. We continued to speak in Lashon HaKodesh. And lo shinu es malbusham, they did not change their clothing. We dressed as Jews. The truth of the matter, though, is that the Medrash in Sefer Vayikra does not really say this. The Medrash is found on the story of Shlomis Bas Divri, and in Parshas Emor. And what the Medrash really says is that the Jews did four things, or four merits that we had, and for that reason we were saved from Mitzrayim. Lo shinu es shemam, they did not change their names. Lo shinu es lashonam, they did not change their language. Lo sipru lashon hara, they did not speak lashon hara. V'hayu gidurim min ha'arayos, and they were careful from immorality. There was no adultery or any incest of that, nothing of that sort going on. It does not say lo shinu es malbusham, they did not change their clothing, even though that is often quoted that way. It's not the way the Medrash says it. Now, it could very well be that that is presumed because it's the fact that they didn't mingle with the Egyptians, which is what is being said over there. They maintained their names, they maintained their language, they were careful with Arayos. Only Shlomis Bas Divri was the only one who had a relationship with an Egyptian. No one else did. And even she, it was not deliberate. So the fact that they remained separate from the Egyptians, they also did not speak Lashon Hara, so then it may be presumed that they did not change their language. I saw that when Rav Zilberstein speaks about this Medrash, he says that he heard a mashal about maintaining Jewish clothing, and he says that if you have a fire and you pour water on the fire, you put out the fire. However, if the water is in a pot and you put that on top of the fire, then the water boils properly. So the difference between whether you're going to have what you want, which is boiled water, or whether you're going to have what you don't want, which is the flame being extinguished, is whether there's a pot between the fire and the water. So the mashal he says is that the clothing of a Jew is that separation between us and the rest of the world. And if we are separated properly, then there can be things can work well. But if there is mingling and the clothing that we wear does not distinguish us, then God forbid it can be the opposite. It's an interesting mashal that he says. But I want to tell you, go through with you a Rashi that quotes a Medrash, which is in Parashas Chukas. In Sunday evenings, Shir, we'll get to this relatively soon. In Parashas Chukas. In Parashas Chukas, we Jews are attacked. We're attacked by another nation. Another nation comes and attacks us. Who is the first nation to come and attack us?
Amalek.
So after Aaron dies in Parashas Chukas, Amalek attacks in the beginning of the 40 years when we leave Egypt. At the end of the 40 years, after Aaron dies and the clouds disappear, we're attacked by the Kna'ani, Melech Arad, Yoshev HaNegev. It says, Vayishma HaKna'ani, the Kna'ani, Melech Arad, the king of Arad, Yoshev HaNegev, those who dwell in the south. They heard that we were coming, Ki Ba Yisrael Derech HaAsarim, that we came that way. Vayilochem Bi Yisrael, they made war with us. Vayishp Mimenu Shevi, and they took captives. It says they took one captive from us. So the pasuk says, "Vayidar Yisrael neder laHashem vayomar." The Jews took an oath to Hashem, and they said, "Im nason titenes ama zeh biyadi." If you put this nation in my hand, "Ve'acharamti esareim," I'll destroy their cities. Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael. Hashem listened to the voice of Yisrael. Vayitenes haKnani. Hashem gave the Knani over to the Jews. Vayacharem esem esareim. The Jews destroyed them and their cities. The place was called Charma. So at first glance, it appears that it is the Kenani who attacked the Jewish people. However, Chazal tell us this was not the Kenani, this was Amalek attacking for the second time. 40 years later, they attack us yet again. Why are they called Kenani? So Rashi tells us as follows. This is Amalek. Vishina es Lishono. The Amalekim changed their language, Lidaber Belashan Kenan, to speak in the language of Kenan. Kideshu Yisrael Mispalim LaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that the Jews would daven to Hashem, Lases Kenanim Biyadam, to put the Kenanim in their hands. Vehinemon Enam Kenanim, but they're not Kenanim. What they wanted to do was trick the Jews, have the Jews daven that Hashem should give over the Kenanim to them, but they're not Kenanim. And then the prayer won't work. Ro Yisrael levushem kilevushem Amalekim. But the Jews saw that they were dressed like Amalekim. Uleshonam leshon Kenan. But their language was the language of Kenan. So the Jews realized there's something going on here. There's some problem over here. Are they Kenanim or are they Amalekim? What should we do? Amru, they said, Nispalel stam. So we'll daven without a specific name. We'll make it general. Shenemar im nason titenes ha'am hazeh biyadi. If you put this nation in my hand, and Hashem listened, and we defeated the Amalekim by making it a non-specific tefillah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehyeh b'ra'ah. Now, typically, why shouldn't we just make all davening as general as possible? That way we're never in this predicament. You see from here that if you daven for something very specific, so it means that thing. So if you daven to be saved from Kenanim, but it's the Amalekim who are attacking, then the davening doesn't work. But if you just say, save me from those who are out to get me, or those who are right, so why don't we daven more generally? So the truth is, we do daven generally. Shemona Esrei is pretty general. However, the more specific davening is, the more powerful it is and the more potent it is. It is better to be specific if we can. That's why with brachos, our brachos are more specific. We have a bracha for that which comes from a tree. We have a bracha for that which comes from the ground. As the more specific the bracha is, the better it is. So if we can't be specific, we make it general. So the Jews would have preferred to have made it a specific tefillah, but instead they saw there was a problem, they made it general, and therefore they were saved. The obvious question over here is, the Amalekim wanted to trick the Jewish people. So they changed their language. But they left their clothing as Amaleki clothing. So how foolish are they? Yeah. Well, I mean, what are they thinking exactly? Did they not realize that the Jews would realize that they're not necessarily Kenanim because their clothing are still Amaleki clothing? It doesn't take a great intellect to figure out that if you're trying to trick somebody, you need to change not only your language, but also your address. In fact, I think most of us would have assumed that the first thing you change is the way you dress. Because that's the first thing they're going to notice is what you look like. They're only going to hear you later, but they're going to see what you look like. And so they're going to assume right away you are Amalekim, if that's the way you're dressed. When they hear you speak, okay, so that can give it away. So just changing the language is a difficult thing. What were they thinking? So we could assume that they were in fact foolish. That is possible. But it's likely that there is a deeper explanation over here. The Amalekim knew, of course, that they were dressed as Amalekim, but they did not change their clothing. So why not? Why would they not change their clothing? So there are a few approaches one can take over here. One approach is that they could have changed their clothing. But because the way one dresses profoundly affects the way one behaves. And they weren't interested in behaving like Kenanim. They were interested in behaving like Amalekim. They attacked, again, knowing they would lose, which is what Amalekim do, in order to make it possible for others to attack. Had they dressed as Kenanim, then it is possible they would have lost their resolve and their courage to attack, because they would have themselves been affected by what they wear. Everybody knows that the way one dresses affects the way one behaves. When one dresses in a certain way, you dress formally, you tend to act more formally. You dress casually, you tend to act more casually. And that's a normal thing. People do that. We are affected by the way that we dress, because we know what we are projecting is how we dress, and it affects a person. And so the Amalekim didn't want to undermine their own aggressiveness and their own evil behavior, and so they did not want to change from their Amaleki dress to their Kenani dress. But then the question is, okay, so then what's the point of changing their language? So what do they gain then by changing their language? Don't they realize the Jews are going to figure it out? So it seems to me that the Amalekim were unconcerned about the fact that they were dressed as Amalekim, because since they changed their language to speak as Kenanim, they believed that the way one speaks actually defines them. And if they speak as Kenanim, then in a certain way, they really are Kenanim. Meaning that the Jews will hear the way they speak, and they will therefore daven to defeat Kenanim, because the way one speaks is so significant. In other words, the Amalekim were banking on the hope that the Jews would assume that they are Kenanim dressed as Amalekim. Because, again, the first thing they would see is the clothing. So it would be the Kenanim trying to deceive the Jews into thinking that they are really Amalekim, but they're speaking as Kenanim. So therefore they would daven to defeat Kenanim. But really they are Amalekim who are trying to act as Kenanim. So it would be a double deceit over there. But the Jews, we Jews realized that there was something amiss, and we davened stam, we just said, give us this nation, and we're able to defeat this nation. Be that as it may, you see the significance of the clothing. That the clothing, the Amalekim didn't want to give up their clothing. To make the disguise complete, they should have given up the clothing as well, but they didn't want to do that because of how important it is. Again, it seems to me that in Mitzrayim, that even though the Medrash doesn't mention clothing, it is presumed that we did not change our clothing, because it would have been impossible for us to maintain our separateness from the Egyptians in language and in names and in arayos and in Lashon Hara, the four things the Medrash mentions, unless we also were careful with the way we dressed. Because once a person is dressing like the culture around them, they're eventually going to act like the culture around them. It is so easy that the way that we dress draws us into that that behavior. So the Jews, therefore, were careful in Mitzrayim with the way they dressed. And over here in our pasuk in Sefaniah, Hashem is saying, I'm particularly going to punish those who change the way that they dress, because that is a significant risk factor in being drawn in to the way that the non-Jews are behaving, which in this case is Avodah Zarah. Question? No.
No, it was just a clarification. They must mean that the Jews didn't wear the dress before they became slaves, because after they became slaves, they didn't have the means to wear whatever the Egyptians were wearing anyway.
Right, the question is, what does it mean that they wore Jewish clothing rather than...
It's been the period before.
It could be that, or it could be that there was a specific thing. You know, the Gemara speaks about in the time of the Gemara, it speaks about that Jews wore different shoelaces than non-Jews, believe it or not, and it talks about changing one's shoelaces to the type that the non-Jews wore. So I don't know if it means, you know, all of their dress or just a particular item, but you could be right. It could be it's before they became slaves. So so when we talk about getting out of Mitzrayim, and we talk about the things that the Jews maintained to stay separate, so the four things the Medrash mentions, which are the names and the language and the not speaking Lashon Hara and also the Arayas. So, of course, with Pesach coming up, those are things to speak about that as we maintain our separateness from the culture around us, that these are very, very important things to maintain. Even though our language is, of course, the same language as the culture around us, but there's language and there's language. And we Jews are expected to speak in a more refined manner, and not to sink to the low levels of where language can go. And that is certainly very, very important. We, of course, do maintain our names, and we also are careful, we hope, with Lashon Hara and with Arayos as well. But the clothing becomes an issue, and that is also very, very important, that the clothing separate us from those around us. Now, in Pasuk Yud Beis, in verse 12, it says, "And it will be on that day, I will search Yerushalayim with candles, baneros." When I say candle, when we say candle, we tend to think of like those Shabbos candles. Remember, there they didn't have anything but, right, they didn't have artificial light the way we have it. So that's what you had for light. So I'll search Yerushalayim with candles. The point, though, is that candles is different than a torch. And candles is different than some big bonfire or than daylight. So I'll search Yerushalayim with candles. So the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim discusses Bedikas Chametz. And the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that Bedikas Chametz is done with a single candle? How do we know that? So the real answer to that question is that's the way that the sages set up the mitzvah. You realize that bedikas chametz, searching for chametz, is really a derabbanan. It's rabbinic in nature, because really from the Torah, you can simply nullify your chametz. You can do bittul, just say it's like the dust of the earth, and that would be enough. However, Chazal were concerned, for obvious reasons, that if that's all we did, first of all, it wouldn't be real, because we'd have all kinds of chametz in the house. We'd say it's batel, or who are you kidding? And there's a very real concern that someone would come to eat the chametz on Pesach. Therefore, Chazal said we have to do bedikas chametz to search for our chametz and then get rid of it. The Torah says to get rid of the chametz that you have, to do bior chametz. So to search for it and get rid of it. We also do bittul. Today, we also do mechiras chametz. We sell our chametz. But that's really a relatively modern invention. Modern, I mean, around, let's say, 600 or 700 years old. It does not go back to the time of the Gemara to sell one's chametz. That's a relatively new thing. The selling of chametz really came into play because of those who owned a great deal of chametz merchandise, particularly, of course, schnapps. So, in order to prevent a very large loss of money, so one would sell their chametz. And today it's become something that we all do. But from the Gemara itself, there is no reference to selling one's chametz, meaning as a process. Of course, one could sell their chametz before Pesach, but as a process that everybody goes through before Pesach, the two things that one does is searching for chametz, bedikas chametz, and bittul and nullifying. Bior, of course, is part of the searching. You search and then you destroy the chametz and then you burn it. The bracha that we make before bidikas chametz is al bior chametz, on the destruction, destruction of chametz, on the burning of chametz, because the searching is the first step in the destroying of the chametz and burning the chametz. So again, Chazal say, really, all we would need to do is bittul. That's all we need to do, is nullify the chametz. But because there's a concern that a person would come to eat whatever chametz they have around the house, therefore Chazal instituted searching for and destroying the chametz. Then, really, that would be enough. Search for and destroy the chametz. Why do bittul? Then why nullify? We nullify because we might have missed something. So that's why we nullify as well. So that's why we do both. We search for and we nullify the chametz. So why do we use a candle? So that's because that's the way that Chazal set it up. Our sages said that you should search with a candle. Why with a candle? And why do we do it at night? So the Gemara says, She'or haner yafa lebedika. Because the light of a candle is good for searching. That's what the Gemara says. But the Gemara wants to hang its hat on a pasuk. So where does it come from? So, well, we'll get to here in a minute. But the Gemara has an association of psukim to go from one thing to another to show how we know that search for chametz should be with a candle. So it begins with the pasuk of Shivas Yamim, 7 days. Seor lo yimatzei bevateichem. There should be no leaven in your house. Seor lo yimatzei bevateichem shouldn't be found in your house, which is a pasuk in Parshas Bo, which actually in Parshas Achodesh, which we'll read in a couple of weeks, and that's clear. You shouldn't have any chametz in your house. But it says the word lo yimatzei should not be found. Well, from that word yimatzei will be found, the Gemara jumps to a pasuk at the end of Parshas Miketz. What pasuk? What is the end of Parshas Miketz talking about? Who knows? The very end of Parshas Miketz. That's where Yosef has Binyamin framed, where the kos, the goblet, the gavia, is hidden in Binyamin's saddlebag. So the pasuk says over here that Yosef sent the head of his household, which is Menashe, to run after his brothers. And when he caught up with them, it says, Vayechapes bagadol heichel vakaton kila. He searched in the older one's pack first and the youngest one's pack last. Vayimotzei hagavia biamtachas binyamin. And he discovered the goblet in the pack of Binyamin. Well, you see the word yimatzei, and he discovered. So the Gemara connects Shivas Yamim, 7 days, Sa'or lo yimatzei bevateichem, leaven should not be found in your houses, to this word here, vayimatzei hagavia, he discovered the goblet. And the Gemara says, in this pasuk, you find the word chipus, vayechapes, and he searched. He searched in the older ones first and the youngest ones last. And he discovered. So we associate the word yimatzei here with the word yimatzei with discovering chametz. And here it says, and he searched. Then the Gemara jumps with using this word, and he searched. The Gemara jumps to our pasuk here in Sefanya. V'haya ba'is ha'hir, will be at that time, achapes es Yerushalayim, I will search Yerushalayim, baneiros, with candles. So we associate the word chipus, to search, here in Sefanya, with the word vayechapes, that Menashe searched in the packs of the brothers. In that pasuk it says yimatzei, and he discovered, which we then associate with the pasuk of 7 days, so'or lo yimatzei bevateichem, you should not find leaven in your house. But we're not done yet. The Gemara says, but this pasuk would not suffice. This pasuk would not be enough to teach us about bedikas chametz with candles. And the reason is because this pasuk is saying that Hashem will search Yerushalayim for what? What is Hashem searching for over here?
Evil people.
Evil people or sins. Right. So, says the Gemara, maybe the reason why Hashem is using candles is because Hashem doesn't want to discover all the sins. So he's using a very poor method of searching. Not a good method of searching. Maybe he's trying to be lenient and use a very poor method of searching so that he does not discover everything. He'll only discover the worst things, the ones that are very obvious. But he won't discover the little tiny things that are hard to see and hard to find. And therefore, how do you see from here that searching with a candle is actually very effective? Maybe it's not so effective. So the Gemara therefore brings a different pasuk, which also has the word chipus, to search, and the word ner or neros. It says, ner Hashem nishmas Adam, the candle of Hashem is the soul of man, chopes kol chadre vaten, searching out all the rooms of the heart, all the corners of the heart. So, and that's a famous pasuk, ner Hashem nishmas Adam. They use that often with the candle for a yard site or something like that. Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam, the candle of Hashem is like the soul of man. So there you find the word chipus, to search, and there it means to search thoroughly, the heart of man, and it uses the word ner, and it uses the candle. So you see that searching with a candle is actually very, very effective and a very powerful way of searching, which reflects back on this pasuk too, that when it says Hashem will search Yerushalayim with candles, it doesn't mean that He'll use an inferior method of searching, rather He will use a very effective method of searching, and He will search very thoroughly for the sins. Yeah?
At least the first ones were definitely during the day, when they searched Binyamin's sack, it doesn't say that it was at night or
no,
whatever.
No, it had to be during the day, because they were traveling during the day.
Right, and then they slept at night. So how did they get from day to night then?
Right, so that is not from here. That, the Gemara just says, that at night is when the candle is more effective to find specific things. The purpose of the candle really is, see, the question is, do you have to shut the lights in the house when you do bedikas chametz, or can you leave the lights on? So you're allowed to leave the lights on. You don't have to shut the lights. We already cleaned our houses for chametz. We've already cleaned our houses thoroughly well before Pesach. Now that is a function of our affluence, because we have so much. First of all, we have so many rooms, but we also have so much, Baruch Hashem, so much food. In their day, food did not last. We have refrigeration. We have freezers. We have things that can be preserved. We have preservatives. One can keep a box of crackers or pretzels for months, and it can be edible. So therefore, we have more to search, and we have more to search for. Baruch Hashem. We also have a lot of things. So there's more places to search in any given room. There's more things to look behind and under and through. So there's just more to search. So that's why we begin so far ahead. In Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say to clean the house before Bedikas Chametz night. Bedikas Chametz night is cleaning for Pesach. That is the time to clean for Pesach. Is the night before Pesach, you search your house for chametz. That's it. There's nothing else. It's not weeks in advance. It's the night before Pesach. That's when you do it. The Mishnah Brura says it's a good idea to sweep up on the daytime of the 13th of Nisan before nightfall, so that it's neat enough that you can search thoroughly. Because if it's all messy, it's hard to search. That's the extent of the cleaning prior to Bedikas Chametz. It, as far as the Shulchan Aruch slash Mishnah Berurah concerned. So of course, we've already done so much more than that well beforehand. So I once asked my Rebbe, so then what are we doing then at Bedikas Chametz night? So we hide some call, yeah, because, so then what's the whole, so he said, it's a spot check. That's what it is. I once asked my Rebbe, the night of Bedikas Chametz, so, since we really cleaned thoroughly beforehand, it doesn't take that long to go through the house because things have been checked already. You're not cleaning them for the first time. So it's been checked already. So he said, yeah, it doesn't have to take a long time. It's not such an arduous thing because you're really just spot checking. You're trying to make sure that you didn't miss something. Sometimes you're going through the house and you realize, hey, this shelf, nobody looked at. Nobody paid attention to it. We just forgot about it. And then, oh yeah, well look at that. You know, that kind of thing can happen. So, it's really just a spot check. And for that, a candle is actually very, very effective. Because what a candle does, or a flashlight, what it does is that it zeroes in on things. And that's what we're trying to do when we search for chametz on the night of Bedikas Chametz. We're zeroing in. That's what we're trying to do. Rather than get a broad look, when you have a light on in the room and without any specific pinpoint of light, you're just looking at a light broad, at a room broadly, so you generally see things, but it's not impossible that you just forgot to check this place or that place or look at that specific thing. And when you're taking a more pinpointed light and you're going over the room thoroughly, so then it forces you to focus on that one point of light as it moves through the room. And that's why it is so effective to use a candle. Sha'or haner yafe lebedika. A light of a candle is good for checking. It's not good for other things. It's a small little light. But it's good for checking, for bedika. For checking, a light of a candle is very good because it's pinpoints. It makes you pick out specific things. So here in our pasuk in Sefania, it's actually being said is that Hashem is going to look through Yerushalayim very, very carefully with the light of candles. He's going to look through very, very carefully as he does his check. And this is, and that is what's happening on Bedikas Chametz night. Now, we know that there is a well-known analogy between chametz and the Yetzer Hara. That part of what we're doing as we are preparing for Pesach and rooting out the chametz is we are trying to root out any of the Yetzer Hara that we have. That the act of the dough rising, the leavening of the dough, that is akin to the Yetzer Hara. And the working the dough and making things move quickly, that is meant to symbolize the Yetzer Tov, Zrizus, moving with alacrity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the searching for chametz is to root out any area of the Yetzer Hara that is still there. It's meant to symbolize that we are like going through our own selves and getting rid of any of the chametz that we have within ourselves. So really, that's what the Gemara is trying to do over here. Why does the Gemara make this association with these psukim? Okay, it's nice, but I mean, the Gemara really made the point that the light of a candle is good for searching. Why do Chazal need to string these psukim together? So it seems to me Chazal want us to be thinking about these psukim as we are doing Bedikas Chametz. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The light of Hashem is the soul of man. Our souls are a light from Hashem. Chofes kol chadrei vatan, searching out every corner of one's self. I said heart before. It's vatan really means stomach, but it means the body that Hashem searches out everything. We need to search out everything within ourselves. On that time, I will search Yerushalayim with candles. What we're trying to do is get ourselves to a point that Hashem can taka search Yerushalayim with candles and not find anything. Just like we're searching the house for chametz and getting rid of it all, so that after we're done, You can go through the house with a candle and you will not find anything because we've already gotten rid of it. That's the goal. The goal is on the night of the 14th of Pesach, which is the night before Pesach, 14th of Nisan, the night before Pesach, we search the house with candles, with a candle, to make sure there's no chametz left. So that tomorrow night, which is the night of Pesach, in theory, if someone would take a candle, go through my house, they will not find anything. It's all gone. And that is what we're trying to do over here also. Hashem says, I'm going to search Yerushalayim with candles. And we say to Hashem, we are getting rid of everything. So that when you search Yerushalayim with candles, you will not find anything. And that is ultimately how Mashiach will come in Nisan. B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asirin Lihigal, that in Nisan is when the Geula will happen. Because we will root out any area that needs to be fixed. And the searching for chametz is meant to symbolize that concept. That's the idea of the searching for chametz with a candle. And I believe that that's why Chazal used these psukim, so that we would be thinking along these lines as we are preparing for Pesach. I think it is a wonderful thing to have in mind. So we start well before Pesach. And it's a big job, and we all know it's a big job, and it's hard. But the one of the very powerful things to keep in mind as we are dealing with Pesach in all of its aspects, whether it's the cleaning or whether it's the cooking or whether it's the shopping, whatever it is that's going on, but to keep in mind that we are symbolizing, just as we are remaking everything in ourselves, we're remaking the house, we're getting rid of things, we're buying new things, we're covering things, we're just redoing everything. And so we're trying to do that within ourselves as well. The Esther always says that on Matzai Pesach, put everything back to chametz, she always says, like, you know, weeks of work. And you know, within a few hours, it's like, shoom, it's like you're back, right? It's incredible how fast everything just goes back to chametz after weeks and weeks and weeks of work. So but that work is the whole point. That work is the point. It's meant to be hard work because we know that fixing ourselves is hard work. It's not an easy fix. It's not a quick fix. One does not become a tzaddik overnight. One does not have excellent midos overnight. These are things we have to work on and work on and work on and work on and work on. And so the having this attitude and this thought process is a very, very positive and powerful thought process in preparation for Pesach. But again, this is the pasuk to come back to. Will be at that time, I will search line with candles, even though the intent here is negative, but we flip it for a positive. Because we want it to get to a point where Hashem will search, but will not find anything. That is the goal.
Can I ask about a different possible that we kind of brushed over?
Yeah.
The word said about the vineyard and the house that reminded me, at least, of the men who are afraid to go to war. Is there a connection between those?
Oh, that's interesting. I'm sure there is. This pasuk of building houses and planting vineyards is the flip side of a different pasuk that says that you will build houses and you'll plant vineyards and you will live there and you'll be. And it's, when it talks positively, it uses those two actions as ways of showing settlement.
And bracha.
Yeah. Okay. But it's interesting. I don't know. It's a good point. Okay. We should have a chag kasher v'sameach.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.